good to see you. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. We want to continue with lean hold of the Spirit that we started last week. Now, on Wednesday, we started what you will call a companion series, which is utterance in the resurrection. Utterance in the resurrection. So it's meant to serve as like a companion teaching to this one that we're looking at on Sunday. It's when you look at the two teachings that you get a full view of what we're looking at. Now, in every month of July, we usually have believers' meetings. And usually the last day of the month or sometimes the first weekend that we have is reserved for having a full-scale believers' meeting. Somebody says, why? Well, it's because more often than not, a Sunday service, there's hardly enough time to say all that needs to be said or to minister in the way that's appropriate because we're limited with respect to time. So we create some time, especially for that kind of meeting. Someone says, why? For the edification of the saints, so that we can be trained when it comes to how to function in that supernatural inheritance that God has given to you and I, so that we may prosper in all that we do. Hallelujah. So as of now, we fix the 1st of July, which is a Saturday, by 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., that's 6 hours. We look at God's word, spend some time to pray, but mostly we're going to yield to utterances and hear what the Spirit of God will say to us and the things that will be unveiled to us. And many times we're propelled into a new level of progress spiritually, and then many of us are supernaturally edified. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So let's look at that kind of meeting, because it's a kind of meeting that takes place in local assembly, and it is Paul's prescription by the Spirit of God for every single local assembly. Now, this morning, if you didn't come for the exhortation, you missed one or two points that was communicated along these lines. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and here come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? So we said last week that, notice, when you read the book of Acts is a book that details chronicles of the church. How the church started functioning as a body, how they began to use the name of Jesus, and how they began to flow in the things of the Spirit. So in the book of Acts, you see what Mark called the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. So in the book of Acts, you see records of miracles, healings, utterances, revelation gifts, power gifts, things like that in the book of Acts. But the epistles give us a sound doctrinal foundation for what is recorded. In other words, what you see recorded in the book of Acts mostly are experiences. For you to continue in the experience, you have to have a sound foundation in the epistles. So, if there's any area of what you saw demonstrated in the book of Acts that you don't understand, the epistles give us clarity concerning what really took place. Now, Paul brings this to the church, and he says, if the whole church be come together, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. So something happened on the day of Pentecost. We have Luke's record of it. We have Paul's explanation of it. Don't forget that. There's Luke's record of it, Acts. There's Paul's explanation of it. Now, Paul's explanation will make us understand what Luke recorded. Amen? So they were all together in one place. Now, Paul tells us, when you come together into one place and all speak with tongues. So there was no question. Now, you know, today, in today's church, we have people who say things like, I'm born again, but I cannot speak. Well, let God be true, and every other contrary testimony a lie. It's not that you cannot speak because you have not spoken. Because if you cannot speak, you're not born again. But if you're born again, you can speak. Hallelujah. That's testimony of God's word. If the old church will come together, as long as you're part of the church, the body of Christ, you're born again, you can all speak with tongues. So there's no such thing as a believer who cannot speak. But there are believers who refuse to speak, often because of lack of knowledge. So Paul says, when you come together in one place and all speak with tongues now, he's commending their practice, and he's saying something very important. He says, and they are coming those who are unlearned and unbelievers. Who are those who are unlearned? Those who are unschooled in things of the Spirit. They're not schooled in things of the Spirit. So you are speaking in tongues. In verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, he that speaks in tongues, speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth, howbeit in the Spirit is what? Speaking mysteries. In modern day English, it's making sense in the spirit. Because it's spiritual, it's of the spirit. It was born that way. And when you're born, the civilization you belong to, you must understand the language. So that person is speaking the language of a higher civilization, and the one who is an unbeliever does not understand the language and cannot speak the language. So he says, when they come in, notice their conclusion. Their conclusion shows two things. They are not aware of your identity, and then he reveals their own identity. They are not part of this society. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me this morning? So notice what he says now. If they come in, now notice the order. You came together in one place. In Acts chapter 2, they began 6 a.m. in the morning. It was an early morning meeting. They were present. Some people came after. So Paul is giving us rules with respect to our garden. They are coming those. So people who are spiritual already guarded, then some came after. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't tell anybody, did you complete this morning? Are you all learned? Are you an unbeliever? Okay, so if you're coming after, we are praying. You are. I'm not the one that said so. I didn't say so. Don't come and meet me after service. Paul said so. So people that come in late are either unlearned or what? Unbelievers. And their conclusion is wrong. Number one, because they came in late for the meeting. They didn't know where we started from. So if they came in, notice they will say you are mad. But on the day of Pentecost, nobody said those who were praying or they were speaking was mad. They said these people are full of what? New wine. That means whatever the people heard them speak was not tongues. It was tongues plus what? The interpretation of what? Tongues. So the people heard what they said. They saw certain bodily movements and certain activities. That means they moved from tongues to what? Prophecy. But they began where? In tongues. But by the time the crowd came, Paul is telling us what happened on the day of Pentecost. That when you believers gather, it is okay for everybody to do tongues. But when other people come, you can switch. Why are you switching? Because the language you are speaking, no man understands. But men have come in. And because these men have come in your society of the spirit, it's okay to worship God in tongues, to bless God in tongues, to pray in tongues. But when these other people come in, who are not initiated into this society? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I belong to a holy society in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, they don't understand the society, not the language. Look at what you are meant to do. Look at the next verse. But if all prophesy, and the coming one that what believes not or unlearned, he is what? Convicted of all, he is what? Judged of all. So notice, who is the one, or who is the all that prophesied? The all that spoke with tongues. So the all that once spoke with tongues now, they decided to switch. Nutrients is a function of two things, knowledge and will. It was an expression of what? Knowledge and what? Their will. They chose to. Let me say it again. The things of the spirit are not spooky. But we have spooky believers who try to make it a mysterious thing. The things of the spirit can be clearly taught and understood and practiced. Why? It's your inheritance. That's how you were born. That's everything you have in Christ Jesus. So Paul is teaching, and interestingly, the angle Paul comes is interesting. He's not discussing if they have. He's already instructed them concerning what they have. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. You're going to come back here now. 1 Corinthians 12. Are you there? Let me read from verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you one ignorant. Now, if you're using the Good King James, you see what gifts is what? Italicized. So what it really says is that now concerning things of and that pertain to the spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now in the original Greek, the word ignorant there doesn't mean to be unaware. It means to have a knowledge and to ignore that knowledge in preference of another kind of knowledge. That's what Paul is saying. So the word ignorant there doesn't mean they don't know, because in chapter 1, look at chapter 1 verse 4. Are you coming along with me this morning? It's important. Just follow me. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is one given you by Jesus Christ. Look at next. Look at that grace. That in everything, say everything. Say in everything. Now put your own adopted. Say in everything, I am enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge. We saw this on Wednesday. So in everything, say in everything. So with respect to spirituals and things of the spirit, I have been made wealthy with the wealth of Christ. Christ has endowed me, made me wealthy with every supernatural speaking, every supernatural knowledge, and every supernatural activity that speaks of the spirit. I've been made wealthy that way. In everything, I've been enriched with everything. So it's already laid down foundation. In chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have what? Received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is one of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Can you see that? So we have received. Say we have received. Say past tense. I have received in the past tense. I'm a possessor now. And what I've received, I can express by faith. So I have received already. I'm not going to receive. I've already received. I've welcomed. I've embraced. I've laid hold of the Spirit. And it says that I might know the things which are freely given. Interesting, that's tautology. Because what is freely given is the Spirit. The Spirit is that which is freely given. So the Spirit was given to me so that I can know that the Spirit is freely given. In other words, the Spirit will educate me on how free His presence in my life is. And everything that He brought in when He came in, I'm meant to understand how free those things are and how much at my disposal those things have been placed. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12 now. Glory to God. So verse 1 again. Now concerning things that pertain to the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignore. I don't want you to ignore. So the things He has said before, He doesn't want them to ignore those realities. What did He say before? You have the Spirit. You have received the Spirit. Don't ignore that reality. Hallelujah. Don't ignore that reality. Look at the next thing He says. You know that you were Gentiles. That is one level of knowledge. They were once Gentiles without the Spirit, not having Christ. He says, you know you were Gentiles and you were carried away unto this world, dumb idols. We don't have time to go through that today, but when the Bible says dumb there, what dumb doesn't mean can't speak. The word dumb there means it says and speaks things that are contrary to the testimony of Jesus. Hence, it's dumb. It means what He's saying is rubbish. It says you were carried away. So when they were Gentiles, they were used to idol worship. That's what He's saying. They were used to idol worship. And in idol worship, there is a particular belief system. There's what you call a pantheon of gods. The word pantheon means a plethora of gods. They used to worship gods, different gods. So there's God of fertility. There's God of the mountains. There's God of water. There's God of marriage. Okay, there's God of business career, God of breakthrough. So they had a plethora of gods that they used to worship. So they were coming from that background, they had that knowledge, and they had the knowledge that God has given them what? His Spirit. Now it says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God, because they used to speak by other spirits before. Are you with me this morning? Glory to God. You know, today, more than any other day, is a season for a believer to know who is in Christ and to recognize the authority of voices. It's amazing how easily believers are deceived when false prophets are in operation. That somebody reveals something doesn't mean it's of God. The spirit of divination, who are preaching to a young lady, followed Paul for days in Acts chapter 16. And it was a spirit of divination, what you call a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is a spirit that's familiar with you. He knows a few facts about you. Abalis can do the same. But they can never provide a solution. They know facts. Why are you moved that they know facts? So now that you know facts, what has that? You are entering into a particular place that they call church. And from the door, the pastor says, you, your grandfather is this, your mother is this. You should just step out. Just start going on. I say, Christ is not here. Because the testimony of Jesus is what you're meant to preach, not prophesy, Papa. It's why is it proliferating? Because people are ignorant. That's why. Now, this book held a defective knowledge. Look at chapter 8. We need to understand why Paul said the things he said. I'll read from verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, they're not really gods, they're demons, but in their culture, in the culture at Corinth, before the gospel came, they believed in the presence and the existence of many gods. So though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and what lords many, but to us, hallelujah. But to us there's but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Look at verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience, you can change that to consciousness. For some with consciousness of what? Of either unto this hour. So at that point in time, when Paul was preaching and teaching them, there were some who still had a consciousness of the multiplicity of gods. So in chapter 12, when he said, now concerning things that pertain to the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, I don't want you to ignore that knowledge. Because you ignored it in preference for this other knowledge. In other words, I'm about to explain certain things of the Spirit, but those things come from the same Spirit. But because you are used to many gods, when you see the same Spirit in operation, because of your background, you will say, like he used to say, that this is the God of breakthrough, then the God of fertility, then the God of increase, then the God of... You see, they have gods for everything. That's like man. You know, it's the height of demonic activity. For a man to go into the woods, cut down a tree, make a sculpture, and pour libation. This is the God that delivered you as foolish. You caught it with your own hand. So it's a man-made God. You gave it authority. And a demon responded to the authority you gave to the image and began to speak to the image, began to worship a demon. Hallelujah. That's what people do. Somebody carved that image. A man carved the image. Why can't it fall from the sky? If it's really a God in that sense. So he says, I don't want you to ignore. You were Gentiles. There was a way you used to operate. You were carried away unto these dumb idols. Wherefore I give you to understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God will ever say, Jesus be accursed. Hallelujah. Let's read further. See what it says. And no man can say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 4. But now there are one diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So you now understand why he's using the word same. For the next 5 verses, Paul kept emphasizing same. One, self-same. One, self-same. Because of the way they were thinking, they held on to a knowledge, and they were ignoring the knowledge of the scriptures, and it was affecting their flow of the Spirit. Were they operating in the Spirit? Yes. So there were people who sometimes yield to familiar spirits, and some who just yield to the Spirit of God, because they believe in that multiplicity. Those who were yielded to the wrong spirit, they were filled, or they paid attention to the wrong kind of knowledge. So look at what Paul said. Now there are diversities, that's what variety of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. The word gift there is what? Charisma, that's faculty. Look at the next verse. It says, and there are differences. Funny enough, in the original Greek, it's the same word in verse 4. It's the same word as diversity. That means varieties. So there are varieties of what? Verse 5. Varieties of what? Administrations. But what? The same Lord. That's what stewardship. So there are different ways to administer the various faculties. There are different ways to administer. So when it talks about verse 4, the faculty, different faculties. Verse 5, there are different ways to administer those gifts and those faculties. There are different ways. Look at verse 6. It says, and there are what? Diversities of what? Operations or effects. They carry different effects, but it is what? The same God, what? Which worketh all. So what does it mean by all in all? The same God worketh all the faculties into all the administrations. And when you have a faculty and administration, you have an operation. Glory to God. Let me say it another way. If I come to you and I want to minister word of knowledge, it will be an administration. It can also be an operation. In other words, the way I will minister it may be different from the way an evangelist will minister it. When an evangelist is ministering the word of knowledge, it may be spectacular. It is still word of knowledge. Why is it spectacular in the midst of an evangelist? He is an evangelist. He is God's supernatural hype man. Hallelujah. You know that's what an evangelist is. He's God's hype man. They hype God. That's his job. Is to preach Christ. And because he's preaching Christ, as he's hyping, signs must follow. Because he must carry proof of what he's saying. So the way he will often minister will be spectacular because he's supernaturally advertising for Christ. A pastor's home may not be spectacular. Why? Because the people he's ministering to are already in Christ. Hallelujah. And people that don't understand this, they say, that pastor, he doesn't have power. Come to Rio, okay? Actually, I climb in, they just call you. BC, BC, BC. No, the pastor of the church knows all your names. If he don't call you like that, like, Shebi Kugu knows before, you won't believe. You don't believe it's supernatural. Why? He's a pastor. He's tending to the flock. He's teaching them, maturing them in Christ. So the operations may not be spectacular. And sometimes the revelation is spectacular. The majority of the ministers in a simple way. Hallelujah. I want someone in church in Holy Ghost meeting. I just pointed him out. And I said enough for him to understand what I was saying so that the rest of people will understand. But what I was ministering was spectacular. But I didn't need for everybody to hear. Because he was about to be initiated into a society. The Spirit of God knew he was about to go off. He will get lost. I don't need to tell everybody. You, stand up. Ah. I should not even do it. Can see, it's terrible. It does not fit me. Can see. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. What is the drama about? That means God can't trust you with secrets. The person you are ministering in love, edification means to minister something in love. That means God is not in the business of shaming people publicly. No. You have misadministered the things of the Spirit. The person is not edified. Now everybody's wondering, Brother Jochebed, where have you been? Hi, people of this church. You see that? Now, they've even left someone now at the meeting. They are talking about this brother because you ministered it wrongly, not in love. So that it came spectacularly doesn't. You think it is over once the next attempt you make does not go through. No, it's not over. There's something prepared for you. Something great. And by the end of August, it will come into expression. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the end of August, the very last week, it will come into expression. Your heart will be glad. No, this hope is not deferred. It will yet bring forth a fruitful harvest. The outcome will be glorious. Your heart will be glad because your Father is faithful to you. He has never forsaken you. He hasn't deserted you. Glory to his name forever. So, though it is received in a spectacular manner, it can be ministered in a simple way. Notice, he said, there are diversities of gifts. Difference of what? Administrations. Diversity of operation. But the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, worketh all in all. So, when you see the different ways the Spirit is expressing himself, don't think there are different spirits. Like you used to think about the gods in the world. Same Spirit. Hallelujah. Same Spirit. So same Spirit that gives me utterance in tongues. Same Spirit gives me interpretation. Same Spirit unveils the word of knowledge to me. Same Spirit gives me word of wisdom. Same Spirit enables me to have design of spirits. Same Spirit gives me working on me. Same Spirit. So he's telling them, don't ignore this knowledge. It's that one, that same Spirit. Let's read for that. See what it says again. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many? Every man for the profit of all. Say the manifestation of the Spirit. Now that's what full disclosure, or the Spirit in full expression. In other words, you don't have the Spirit of God in parts. You have the Spirit of God in full. Say, I have the Spirit of God in full. Say, I have the fullness of the Spirit. So when I receive the Spirit, I receive all there is. I don't receive it in portions. In other words, I didn't receive the Spirit of tongues. I received the Spirit. And in the Spirit is tongues. In the Spirit's interpretation, in the Spirit's word of knowledge, in the Spirit's revelation. So in that same Spirit, I receive the fullness of God. Say amen. Now we have received, not the Spirit of God, so of the word, but the Spirit of God that we may not, the things which are what? Freely given to us. So Paul is teaching the things that are freely given. Now he says again in verse 7, but the manifestation, the full expression of Spirit is given to every man, is for the profit of all. Now look at, he begins to explain. And for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So look at the emphasis. Same Spirit. It may be administered differently. The effects in the individuals may be different, but it's the same Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, that simple explanation is important because, again, if the person you see ministering the things of the Spirit for the first time has a mannerism, you are likely to follow that mannerism. The first example you ever have, you are likely to follow that mannerism, thinking that's the way to do it. I mean, even know what I'm talking about. Okay, so I've shared with you many times the story of first time I prophesied. Because it was a fellowship, well, it was a church. We're in the prayer team of that particular church. And out of about 20 of us, about 11 of us to 12 of us were ladies. Leaders are usually zealous about strange things of the spirit, so they were leaders. So we have vigil. And in the middle of the meeting, sometimes when the prayer is hot, okay, some of these will start prophesying. And that is the example you have before you. I've not made a negging before that time. So I just, when it was there, my children. Now, if you come from that setting, and Pastor Sunday comes to give you a word, and just like this, you're like, you're like, no, this is not the spirit. It's not the spirit. It's too cool. He's even shaking. He's even with his glasses. Why is it? That's not the spirit of God. That's not the spirit. He's like, it took me a while to understand that that is the mannerism of the person and not the spirit. That's the drama of the person. Is this spirit speaking? Yes. Who has the drama? The woman. So we now carried the spirit and the drama together. So when you also, in fact, I had a friend who had this, his own was even worse. See, because when they start prophesying where he came from, they'll start up standing, they went on the floor. You know, you just fall after the end. That's how you know the power of God is so strong. So he said one day he was making himself fall like that. You know, make yourself fall because nothing's making him fall. You know, just hit the end of the chair. Sense came back straight. Sense came back immediately. In other words, that you're seeing it normally, you are going up and down every day carrying the spirit of the living God within you. You didn't shake. You didn't fall down the road. Now that you are speaking, must you shake and fall down? You are carrying. If the effect is overwhelming and you cannot handle this, you should be falling everywhere. As you are coming into the door, now we should carry you. Sorry. But since you are walking normally, then when you want to minister, the same calm way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His help is with you at all times. His strength is available in every situation. So turn not to the world. Do not listen to the lies of the enemy. Stand in the light of the truth, and his words will comfort you and bring you out of every bit of depression. For joy is yours, not just now, but forevermore. Someone says, Pastor, where that came from? From the spirit. I just unhooked my tongue from my mind to my spirit, and I can hook it back. It's a function of my will. It doesn't take much strength, it just takes practice. Every single believer can do what I just did. Just unhook your tongue. I'm speaking English, normal English. I'm connected to my head, and I unhook, I connect to my spirit, and I bring something out to edify the saints, like we exhorted this morning. It's important. So the mannerism is just say the same spirit. Same spirit. Say same spirit. Say same spirit, and you can be calm when you are ministering. You can be calm. And am I saying the power of God doesn't sometimes come upon you so strongly? No. When it does, you will know it does. But that can't be your normal way of ministering all the time. That can't be your normal way of ministering all the time. Why? That's what knowledge does. I give you to understand. So the more I share God's word with you, the more you understand, the more grounded you are in the reality. These things belong to me to express. They don't come on me suddenly. No. I have a part to play. I have been given the Spirit. The purpose of having the Spirit is to minister to others. Remember, the manifestation is given for what? The profit of all. So I'm giving the Spirit in fullness for the benefit of all. I must now learn how to yield to the Spirit to benefit how many? All. That's the way it works. Glory to God. I must learn how to yield to benefit all. Now, see what it says again. See what it says in verse 8. Let me read verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Can you see the verse on same, not different spirits? It says to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another design of spirits, to another diverse what? Kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of. So to another simply means in expression through another, but the same spirit. In expression to another believer, but the same spirit. So in expression to another is diverse kind of tongues. In expression to another believer is interpretation of tongues. In expression to one believer is a gift of special faith. In expression to another is design of spirit. In expression through one believer and then another. So why? It's a community of believers. It's writing to the church, not to individuals. So he's telling you what should take place in the church when we come together. So chapter 14 again, it says, when you come together, all of you, you're about to trade with the faculty of the spirit resting in everyone. How did you start trading? all of you, when you come together and all speak with tongues. That is a prelude to ministry. You are about to trade. In other words, you first edify yourself, and the content of what you are going to minister is in the tongues all of you are speaking right now. So what will happen? When people come in that are not part of the original caucus, and you want to minister to them, it says, and all of you start to what, prophesy, or to interpret what you were saying in tongues. Hallelujah. If there is no tongues, there is no interpretation. Hallelujah. It's because there is tongues, there is what? Interpretation. So tongues is my way of starting. Tongues is me supernatural advertising to you there is more. There is something to be said. There is something to be received. That's what tongues is. I'm advertising to you that God wants to do something, say something, reveal something, or give an instruction. That's what I'm doing when I'm doing tongues. I must not start with advertising alone. Because the advertisement tells you something's available. It doesn't give you what's available. Glory to God. I'm trying to use the most simple terms for you to get it. Just like Pastor Richard wrote this morning. No, if you came to me speaking with tongues, you are not going to profit me with just tongues. You are going to profit me when you prophesy, because tongues is utterance in an unknown language. But prophecy is utterance in a known language. Now, the known language will edify me. The unknown will edify you that is speaking alone. Now, you are not supposed to be selfish. You're meant to walk in love. So while you are getting edified, I'm standing aloof, waiting for when mine will come. So to bring me into the edification you are enjoying, you must switch from what? Tongues to what? Interpretation of tongues, which is prophecy. And that means the switching is a function of your will. Say amen. Hallelujah. It's a function of your will. It's a function of your will. So when I come to you speaking tongues, I'm advertising there's something God wants to say, something God wants to do. Then when I finish advertising, I got you, get your attention, I must unveil what God wants to say, what God wants to do. It's called interpretation. Glory to God. Look at verse 11. We'll go back to chapter 14 now. See what it says. But all this worketh that one and what? The self-same spirit. Say self-same spirit. Say self-same spirit. Hallelujah. So that one worketh that one and self-same spirit. Doing what? Dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, that's where we have a challenge often. Because it says, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we need to find out who is the he. Is it the he God or is the he a man? Because the word that is used there speaks about dividing to every man severally means individually. So there's a distribution individually. Now, is the spirit in charge of distribution? Yes. What controls distribution? Is it the spirit or the desire of men? Desire of men. Hallelujah. You notice that except we are led by the Spirit separately, differently, we're the ones that choose 1st of July out of convenience to have a believers meeting. How come nobody thought, Pastor, 1st of July, the Spirit may be in Jakarta. May not come that day. So let's speak on that day when we'll have been done with the crusade in the Philippines. According to what we are picking up, there's a major meeting going on in Nepal. The Spirit will be busy that time. So pick another date. Why can you pick a date? Because the Spirit is in you always. And it's in local assembly always. And there's a willingness that is permanent in Christ Jesus. He always wants to bless. Always wants to heal. Always wants to save. Always wants to help. That's why you cannot go out on evangelism and when you get there, say, believe in your heart, confess with your mind. The person is confessing and nothing's happening. Say, ah, Jesus, are you sleeping? The person has been confessed. You say that the person confessed. No, it's a law. Say it's a law. Wherever you are, even in a cave, somebody confesses Jesus, they'll be saved. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is everywhere, but the Spirit of God is not manifest everywhere. There's a difference. So see, it says, verse 11, but all this worketh, that one and self-same spirit, dividing, that's what distributing to every man individually as he will. Chapter 14. Glory to God. Permit me to go to verse 5. Are you there with me? All right. It says, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that one prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets that the church may receive edifying, or in order that the church may receive edifying. before verse 5 is verse 3 and 4. In verse 3, he that prophesies speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So that's the background of verse 5. Verse 5 now says, I want all of you to be willing to do tongues or to start with tongues. So you begin the journey. I want all of you to advertise in the church what God wants to do by doing tongues. But I don't want you to stop at advertising alone. I want you to deliver the goods. Hallelujah. In other words, you can advertise and stop. You can advertise and deliver the goods. So if I'm doing tongues alone, I'm just advertising. After a while, we get tired of watching the adverts. Because if you're advertising lawyer meek, and I'm not a say lawyer meek, I'll switch off the TV after a while. Because I just mesmerizing my mind, but I'm not feeling it. It's like cooking something in your kitchen and you're torturing us. We knock on the door is securely locked. But the aroma from the kitchen is telling us that things are happening. There's party jollof going on in your kitchen. And you know party jollof is different. It has a special smell. How many of you know? Don't travel up now. So you can tell. And some people know, they're so sharp that they even know what you are cooking. Have you known people like that? They know exactly what you are cooking. Some people, if it's beans, they will know. That's like, it's like that beans is burning. Like your nose. They even know the difference between turkey and chicken when you are frying it. You have not met people like that before. They know when the food is done. So when I'm doing tongues, I'm cooking something. When I interpret, I serve you. Don't be selfish and cook and not serve. That's not nice. Tell anybody be nice. And be good. Today, before you go, that thing you're about to cook, give us to eat. It's not, don't be happy. Be kind. Be kind-hearted. Give us some of it to eat. You are cooking something, and we need to eat what you are cooking. So Paul says, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather, or in order that you may what? Prophesy. So when you do tongues in a local assembly gathering, in a meeting where we're not praying to God, I want you to do it with the intention of ending in prophecy. See what it says again? Look at the guidelines in verse 5. It says, rather, for greater is he that prophesies than he that one speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, when he says greater, let me put that in perspective. Paul is using the language. He's not saying the person that is interpreting is greater. He's saying the person that's interpreting is doing the greater work. Now, what's the word greater? It's borrowed from the language that implies something is promised. That which is promised is now fulfilled. So the person that is doing tongues is promising something. The person that's interpreting is fulfilling it. The person who fulfills has done something greater. Hallelujah. You see, the language is very interesting. Let me use this phrase. All the prophets prophesied until John. Yes or no? All the prophets. Now, they prophesied, and in their prophecy were promises of what God will do. In Christ, the promise is fulfilled. Yes or no? Is that what? Yes and amen. So, for instance, Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel 36. So, you see what the word greater is. Say, I do the greater. Say, I walk in the greater. I do the greater with ease and at will because I have the Spirit. Who has been experiencing blurriness in their vision? Let me see your hand. Blurriness. Okay. You're not going to have glaucoma. You won't have it. After this morning to disappear. It should be no more in the name of Jesus. But see Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 or verse 25. See what it says. Now, this is promise, which is in a prophecy by Ezekiel. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Notice, I will, future, is something I'm going to do, and you shall be clean. The effect of my sprinkling is your being clean. And now it says, from all your filthiness and from your attachment to idols, I will cleanse you or separate you. Or in today's language, I will translate you from the kingdom of darkness to where? The kingdom of my dear son. Colossians 1:13. Now look at the next verse. It says, a new heart also will I give you. So what he called a cleansing in verse 25 is now called what? A new heart. What he calls water in 25 is now called what? A new heart. So say water is not water. So you need to understand the language of the prophet. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart of your flesh. I will give you what? An heart of flesh. Look at verse 27. And I will put my spirit. So what is a new heart? My spirit. Not your spirit. It is my spirit. All that I have. That which represents me. That which stands for all that I promised. I'll put it within you. It's a promise. According to Ezekiel. In Christ Jesus, it has been fulfilled. Hallelujah. So in Christ is the better. What's the better? The fulfillment of what was what? Promised. Are we together this morning? Okay, so now, he now uses the things of the Spirit to liken to the same operation. Something was promised. It has been fulfilled in Christ. The fulfillment is better than what? The promise. Amen? Now, in the same way also, I would that you speak with tongues, but rather you prophesied, for greater work is being done when you prophesy than just tongues, except you interpret or you bring about the what? The fulfillment. So, I come to you doing tongues. I'm advertising something. I'm promising you something. I must fulfill what is promised. Glory to God. Do you understand so far? Now, look at next verse. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come to you. So, I'm in your midst. We're gathered together. We're having a meeting. If I come to you, speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except. So, look at what except. The implication is that the individual is in control of what is being ministered. So I decide what to minister. Where can all believers begin if we all speak with tongues? Ask your neighbor, can you do tongues? Can you do tongues? That is proof you have something to minister. Say to your neighbor, that is proof that you have something to minister. Okay, so tongues is a sign. It's a pointer that there are things you have to minister. So we're saying that it is like a wrapped gift. You are going to unwrap it by interpreting it. You will not know what is in it until you unwrap it. Neither will the person also know what is in it until it's unwrapped. So both of you are finding out about the gift which you brought, because the gift came via the Spirit. You are just a conduit, and you were a conduit by being willing to express it. So let me say it this way. Every single gathering, every single time we assemble together, the Spirit, who is the gift of God in redemption, wants to give gifts. And he will give those gifts through everyone who is willing. And everyone who is willing will become willing by revelation knowledge. That knowledge is a knowledge contained in the epistles. Should I say that again? The Spirit always wants to give gifts. The Spirit himself is a gift. He always wants to what? Give gifts. Or he always wants believers to be what? Edified. He will do that edification through every single believer that is willing. What affects your willingness? Your desire and your knowledge. Glory to God. Your desire and your knowledge. Now, as you're seated this morning, the next few minutes, I say, get up and go and minister to someone. Listen carefully. If you don't get up, there's an argument going on in your mind. An argument you need to overcome. The first argument is, what will I say? What will I say? What will I say? What will I say? Get up first. Why are you getting up? If you all come together and all, say all, speak with tongues. So if you identify that you are among the all that does tongues, then you are among the all that can interpret. It's the same spirit. Your own spirit doesn't have tongues without interpretation. The spirit that God gave you is not in portions. That sister Alfreda only does psalms, hymns. Any other thing? No. I'm a minstrel. Yes, we know. You are a minstrel. Come and minister other things as a minstrel. Because in your song, there can be a word of knowledge. People have sang out songs that we knew healing was in the house. That's revelation. Your problem is that you partition what God has not partitioned. You separate in your mind what God has joined together. What did he join together? He joined tongues with interpretation. And there's a reason why he did so. So that you can step into all the other revelation gifts by will. You saw me demonstrating a few just now. Because I saw in the spirit. That's the sign of spirits. That somebody has a blow. I also knew what the enemy told the person that you're about to have glaucoma. So I mentioned it. But I didn't start breaking one by one. If we're doing what you call detailed explanation, I will tell you that these are the number of gifts that operated together, but I just said it at once. Yes or no? Because your fingers, it's the day you lose one, you know the value of that one. Because you're holding the mic with ease, you're holding everything. The day one is missing. That's when you know, oh, so this is your function. So it's better for you to know the function now And for you not to get missing, when it comes to things of the Spirit, they operate together. We separate them for the purpose of teaching. But they usually flow to what? Together. They flow together. And that's important. That you know it flows together. So, that I can do tongues is a sign that I have things to minister to you. Because when I stand up in tongues, I'm advertising. Then the person that advertising through me, which is the Spirit, I should be ready to yield to him to take the advert from just an advert to what? Manifestation. Glory to God. So I'm teaching you the step by step, which is if you can start with tongues, where will you end up? Prophecy. What's prophecy? Inspired utterance in a known language. What's tongues? Inspired utterance in an unknown. So if you believe the utterance you gave in tongues was inspired by the Spirit, the same Spirit will give you what? Interpretation, which is what? In a known language. I said something on Wednesday, and because the combined teaching, when I said, the way it sounds is not what matters. You know, some people are even working at. Pastor T is like, I like your tongues. It's like Spanish. Mine is like Ikale. So I know what I'm saying. I want something that's true. It's like, it's not really true. She's just like, it's not, the spirituality is not in truthness. It's not in how melodious it sounds. If you're listening, guru, it's still. I hope you understand. It's not in, you know, the phonetics. That's why it's supernatural. So the unbeliever is gibberish. To the believer, you're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. Didn't you understand it? And then some people think that, pastor, that you spoke tongues. You only spoke for just like 10 seconds. And then you are talking, and you are talking, and you are talking. It's not length of time. It's interpretation of tongues. What is that? What was meant when the utterance came? That means I'm explaining what I said. I'm not doing verse, line by line translation. Are you with me now? So, you know, some of them, if I spoke tongues for long, and let me say something, our personal disposition plays a role. If you are somebody who is naturally garrulous, you know what I mean, garrulous, you speak a lot. Everything you want to say, it takes you time to say everything. You want to say something small, you can talk for 30 minutes. But it's only one thing, it will carry over to the Spirit. I hope you know that. If you are somebody who is brief, brevity is the soul of wit. I am a brief person. Just say sharp. Just sharp. But if you're not, you can just use anything. For the next 30 minutes, you are still talking to us. Now, that is you, not the Spirit. It is you now. When I say you now, it is you who's taking a long time to explain what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. Now, both are of the Spirit. Say amen. But the personality of the person comes to play. I need you to understand that. It comes to play. It's more than you know that. So I would that. Say, if I come to you speaking with tongues, he says, go back to verse 6, please. If I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except, notice what except. Except means is a function of my will. I chose to change the tongues to these things, revelation, knowledge, or by what? Prophesying, or by doctrine. I am the one except. I'm the one that chooses. I can do tongues alone. I can do more than tongues. Now, he wants me to edify. He wants me to make sure everybody is encouraged, comforted, and strengthened. He wants me to say words that would assure believers. That means I cannot stop at tongues. I'm going to just continue. That's what he says. And he keeps giving me the keys concerning how to do it. Look at verse 12. They're going to come back here. Verse 12. Even so, as much as you are what? Desirous or zealous or spirituals, seek that you may what? Excel to the edifying of the church. So pursue edifying the church. Make sure your focus is how to get men blessed. That's your focus. And the more you focus on how to get men blessed, because that is the Spirit of Christ, more will flow through you to other people. Now, let me say it again. There is speaking and knowing what you will tell people. There is speaking and not knowing, but stepping out by faith. Both are valid. Shall I say that again? There is starting out. Remember what I said before. If I come to you speaking in tongues, how shall I profit you? Except I speak to you by what? Revelation. So, except I speak. So, it's in verse 13. Look at what it says in verse 13. This is verse 12. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, let him that one speaks The one unknown is satisfied. It's not your original context. So let him that speaks in tongues pray that he may what? Interpret. Let me put that in context. Pray that he may interpret doesn't mean, oh God, oh God, oh God, give me interpretation. No. That will be contrary to what he said in chapter 12. It will contrary to what he said in verse 5 and 6. He already told you, except you interpret. That means you can interpret. Now when he says, let him pray that he may interpret, means let him persist until interpretation comes. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Interpretation is there. Just continue. Just continue. Now, it doesn't matter. Even if you do tongues 3 times, we wait for you to interpret. We just wait. Why? It's your mind has been slow to catch up, but we just wait for you. Even if you do it 3 times, we just wait for you to interpret. Why? You can persist until interpretation comes. When I say interpretation comes, I mean until your mind lays hold of the interpretation. Hallelujah. If you understand me, say amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, tongues is my way of stirring up myself and edifying myself and pushing out content and pushing out what is hidden by the Spirit because I want to minister it to someone. So tongues is like what you call the interlude between what God wants to give to people and you who is the vehicle to whom God will give to people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So verse 14, look at verse 14. We want to answer that question before we go this morning. I hope you know that we're answering a question. You've forgotten the question we're answering. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. Look at it. But all this, what is all this? All this manifestation. What can that one and what? Self-sufficiency. Divide into how many? Every man, severally as who? So, one to find, who is the E? Look at verse 14 of chapter 14. So, 1 Corinthians 14, 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. Next verse. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the. I will sing with spirit. I will sing with the. Notice the word phrase, I will. Say, I will. I will. Okay, so do you do tongues without your will? You do tongues at will. Notice Paul is now saying, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding means I will speak for the interpretation also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing the interpretation also. I hope you understand what he's saying. That's what he's saying. I will. So it's a function of my will. Now, because I'm alone by myself, maybe in my house, I'm worshiping God, I don't need to sing out interpretation if I don't want to. Because there's nobody to edify there. That means if I sing in the Spirit, I will be edified on my own. But if I'm in the company or gathering of saints, I have a duty, responsibility to sing the interpretation so that you can be what? Edified. And it says, I will. So all this work, that one, I mean the self-same spirit, who is distributing through every man individually as each of those individuals will. What governs your will? Knowledge and desire. You've discovered God always wants people edified. I'm a vessel that has the Spirit. That means I'm a carrier of the gifts of God. I'm God's Father Christmas. God is the real Father Christmas. But I'm the one who's distributing gifts through. Now, don't be a stingy Father Christmas. They're carrying gifts. And for God, and for the saints of God, every month is Christmas. With respect to what God wants to give. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I have goodies in my heart today to bless someone. Yeah. I have goodies. Yeah. If I come to you speaking with tongues, so I'm coming to him speaking with tongues. What seems like a season of delay is a season of preparation. For all things must be in place. So as you learn to rejoice, for you have been rejoicing quietly, dancing, even though you tried to be angry, you tried to be upset, but there's just a peace that keeps blanketing your heart and you have not resisted it. I will reward your faithfulness and your yielding to the Spirit, for the season you are stepping into shall be one of continuous celebration. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. So that's one way to minister it without every other person knowing what you're talking about. But you can be blessed by what I said. I mean, you know. But I said something to him. I didn't give details because he knows what I'm talking about and not everybody needs to hear. So why do you go to individuals? When you go to individuals, you can give more details because now nobody's hearing you. But I'm in front of everybody now and I'm picked one person out. So I'm not going to accept what I said is for everybody. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So if I come to you speaking in tongues, so what if I say what I said, just stop with tongues? He will not be edified. And God wants to tell him something that he needs to hear to encourage him. I celebrate. The angel of Lord watches over his own to prevent evil, for it is written in the scriptures, no evil will befall you, neither will any plague come near your dwelling place. So untimely death is counseled concerning you, and your life is preserved, and you live the full length of your days in peace and prosperity. In the name of Jesus, I'm talking to both of you, sir. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if I come to you speaking, so I come because I can. Then I speak because I will. Then I choose to interpret because you are meant to get benefit from what I say. So how do you identify a selfish believer? He refuses to get up. It doesn't go to anybody. He's denying the knowledge of the scriptures. He's acting according to 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning things of the spirit, I will not have you ignore. Tell your neighbor, don't ignore. Don't ignore that you have the spirit. Don't ignore that you can. Don't ignore that you're meant to bless people. You are meant to bless someone. Don't ignore. When you sit down, you are ignoring the knowledge of the Father you have. That's what you're doing. And that's why in the local assembly, most of the time, we say, can you get up and go and minister to somebody? Is somebody the same set of people? So the question, why are you always, when will you get up in Jesus' name? When will be your turn? You should have a reputation by now. Not for sitting down all the time, but for getting up to do something to someone. When you are yet to get up and you are considering what to go and do, at least do something when you are seated. Start advertising to yourself first that there's something good coming up. There's something great coming up. There's something that will bless you that's coming up. Why? You speak with tongues where you are quietly. What are you doing? You are first advertising to yourself. When you are built up enough, go carry the advert to somebody else. And then when you're advertising to them, please unveil the package and let them be blessed. And there's no such thing as what I just sense. Say what you sense. All this self-examination. I said on Wednesday, I said, some of us were even too conscious about our grammar. Notice it is your grammar. You can say is when you were supposed to say was. It's not, it's this spirit. But it's your grammar that's the problem. As David delivered children of Israel from, you can't stop. I met Moses. You see the spirit. Say, it's not David that delivered them. It was Moses that delivered them from Egypt. It is we already know that you meant Moses. So we are flowing with you. Just continue speaking. We are not distracted by the fact that you mix the names. The spirit didn't mix names. You mix the names. And it's okay. You are practicing your learning. Hallelujah. You can misplace that in words, but you don't get better without practice. You don't get better without practice. Now, something happened a few years ago that really encouraged me. I have videos on my system. I have meetings from 1965 to 2003 of Reverend Kenny Hagin on my system. Both audio and some of my videos on my system. And one of those videos in the 90s, when God gave an assignment to teach the body of Christ how to flow in the Spirit, he ministered to someone in camp meeting. And the next day he came back and said, that message wasn't actually for you. It was for this person. I was like, I've not started. You know what he was doing? Correcting himself. After 50 years of ministering the Spirit, said, and I said this to you yesterday, it was actually for her, not for you. It's called excelling in edification. Don't be proud, though. We all make mistakes. We all miss it. If you don't miss it at all, let me tell you what that means. There's no room for improvement. Missing is not a big deal, though. That's how you grow. So some people sit down because they are afraid to miss it. Let me tell you the truth. You're already missing it as you're sitting down. You're sitting down inside that you are missing it, and you're missing it big. And you are doing a worse job than those who have gone ahead. Understand that. That's very important. I mean, he came back and told the person, it wasn't for you, it was for her. That word I gave us, it was actually for her. Can you correct yourself that way? Or go to post after service. I said as this, I wanted to say this instead. This is what I wanted to use rather. Just for clarity's sake. You can. Someone says, well, you are the one who is improving. The spirit is not improving. Glory to God. The spirit is not improving. You're getting better. And that's how you grow. And that's how God trusts you with more. God trusts you with more. Because you are faithful in that which you already would have. God trusts you with more. Say, I prophesy by the Spirit. I minister revelation by the Spirit. Setula katia. News tropa kalika nienka yatike. Oh, class de fride lihechte kostuko sefretika nagdiste. Who's the person that has a sudden sharp pain to the left side of your tummy? Recently, sudden sharp pain to the left side. It was sharp. Okay, to this left side of your tummy. Okay, is it still there? Is it still there now? But it has gone. But a thought came with it. Oh, the enemy too advertises. But it's a lie and the father of it. But the father also advertises. And it's the reality of all he has said. And he asked me to tell you, laugh at the enemy. For no evil will befall you. Neither will any plague come near your dwelling place. No, 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 no. Affliction will not come. Sickness will not come. No strange disease will cling to your body. Your body is free. 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 He advertises too. The enemy advertises. You feel a sharp pinch. That's cancer. Just. You can even speak in King James. Thou fool. You can do King James. Thou fool. I'm the healed in Christ Jesus. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. My mind is sound. My mind is sound. My mind is sound. I change the story. I change the story. I am a change of story in Christ Jesus. Because my mind is sound. My mind is so sound. I fulfill my ministry. I carry out God's plans and purpose. Nothing deters me. Nothing stands in my way. I fulfill the heavenly vision. I carry out my assignment. In ministry, I'm fruitful. I'm sent to many. I'll reach them all. 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 In the name of Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I come to you speaking. I keep hearing expansion. 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 It's time for expansion. It's time to broaden. It's time to spread out. More people come under your tutelage. More people come to serve under you. More people come to get the work to be done faster. And the wisdom that is given to you will be administered through several channels until there's a network that continues to increase and to expand. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I come all that stands between you and a new season. Ah, thank you, Jesus. All that stands between you and a new season is a dance. It's a dance. It's a dance. And that season of inactivity will be over. The season of inactivity will be over. So I know you sell things. I know you disburse goods. So when you get to the location tomorrow, dance all around. And say they are sold. And say the contracts come. Say the job is done. Say the deal's coming without fail. And there will be a new energy about the work of your hands. The energy of God's Spirit. And things will start working and clicking and falling into place. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So before we go this morning, we're going to practice. So as you're sitting now, stay up yourself. Stay up yourself. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You have 2 or 3 minutes. Then once you are done, get up. Look for somebody to bless. It doesn't have to be someone you know. Get up. Look for somebody to bless. Someone to minister to. Remember, we're simply practicing. We'll change the pattern. Maybe next week of the way we do it. But for now, we're doing this way because we're building up. And there's no need to rush. We're building up. I'm like a tree planted by the streams. I'm bearing fruit. All my leaves are green. I'm always in my season. I'm always in my season. I'm never dry, oh. I'm never dry. I'm never dry, oh. I'm never dry. I'm always in my season. I'm always in my season. Now, I'm singing that song because of a set of people. Listen, you concluded that from beginning till now, you've not really measured any common progress. And nothing's happening. It's a stagnation. So what is happening on the outside has almost conformed you to his own mold. Nothing significant seems to have taken place in the last month, few months. It's like you're just in one place. No form of progress. The Spirit of God tells me to tell you to sing this song. I'm like a tree planted by the streams. I'm bearing fruit. All my leaves are green. I'm always in my season. I'm always in my season. I'm never dry, oh. I'm never dry. I'm never dry, oh. I'm never dry. I'm always in my season. I'm always in my season. I'm like a tree. I'm like a tree planted by the stream. I'm bearing fruit. All my leaves are green. I'm always in my season. I'm always in my season. I'm never dry, oh, I'm never dry. I'm never dry, no, I'm never dry. I'm always in my season. Yeah, I'm always in my season. Whether hot or whether cold, whether rain or whether shine, God is my source, is my source. Whether God or whether cold, whether rain or whether shine, a tree. I'm like a tree planted by the stream. I'm bearing fruit. All my leaves are green. I'm always in my season. I'm always in my season. I'm never dry. Oh, never dry. I'm always in my season. I'm always in my season. victory in Jesus' name. I have a son. I know that Jesus has been raised. I'll sing a song. My God is worthy to be praised. I have a song. Forever he remains the same. I'll sing a song about the victory in Jesus' name. I'll sing a song about the victory in Jesus. Oh, I have a song. Yes, it's the dawning of. I know my God has made a way. I have a song.
Oh, the devil's lost again. I sing a song. I've got the reach in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. And now, because of time, we're going to continue next Sunday. How many of us were ministered to? Let me see. Someone ministered to you. Glory to God. Lift your hands and give him thanks this morning. Just give God thanks. Give him thanks for the strength, for the comfort of the Spirit, for the edification that came forth by the Spirit of God. To every one of us this morning, we're learning, we're practicing, we're walking in the reality of all that is ours. This is our season. And much more we will walk in, much more we will delve in, much more we will express accurate words, precise instructions, clear directions. All is ours in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's have our seats.